Blog Talk Radio.
Let's kick off the first ever GK Fantasy Baseball League podcast with a little bit of scene from Bull Durham.
What the hell's going on out here?
Well, Nick's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster. We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
Well, camel sticks always make a nice gift, and maybe you can find out where she's registered, maybe a place setting or maybe a silverware pattern. Okay, let's get to it. Let's go.
So there you go. Let's get to it. Today I wanted to, first of all, let me just explain a couple things. Hope springs eternal in fantasy baseball, and then summer comes along, and most of our teams along with it go up in flames. So welcome to the first ever GK Fantasy Baseball League podcast. I'm your host and the commissioner of the GK Baseball League, Rick Goreski. As many of you know, I also commish several other football leagues, or several other leagues, especially in football. And one of the things that I've begun doing this year to have some fun and to make the leagues more interesting is to create some podcast shows for the leagues that I'm in. It's all for fun, so don't anybody take anything too seriously. Just a fat guy with a phone here having a good time talking about fantasy baseball. So why don't we get to it? This podcast is usually for my King for a Day and Mad Dog football leagues, but it's also for friends of the league. So some of the guys in the leagues are in our GK Fantasy Baseball League. Bear with us if you're not into baseball. If you are into baseball, let's have some fun. I'm going to quote Moses Malone. Fo. It's all about the number four right now. 4 weeks left to go. Four of six teams in each division still have playoff aspirations. Four teams are battling for the basement, two in each division. As I mentioned, hope springs eternal, and just a few short months ago, 12 owners were excited about their chances in the 2015 season. Summer brought the heat, and with it, several teams caught fire. A championship may be in their sights. Others have flamed out, leaving some looking forward to next year. I'm one of those guys looking forward to next year already. The story of 2015 thus far has been the incredible pace of the Con Division. How good has the Con teams, the Con Division been? After 17 weeks, four of the six teams in the Con Division are over 500. As I host this show, five of the seven highest scoring teams in the league are from the Con Division, including the top two. Top of the top right now is Blinka's squad in Perry Delicto. I'm sure I'm saying it wrong, and that's okay with me. Blinka's 2015 team is not only setting personal bests, it's breaking league records. Blinka's first place team set a league record this year by winning 10 games in a row. Previous high was 7 games in a row, set by my own squad of Wild Pitch back in 2012. Blinka's record-setting team isn't done yet. They still have a chance to break the league record for most wins in a season, which was set back in 2012 by Adam Karras' Testosterone at 15. Blinka has 13 wins right now, and there's still 4 weeks left to play, so 15 wins is more than in play right now as far as breaking that record. Blinka's wet dream season also includes new records for ugliest mascot and most Latin name with In Peri Delicto. For those non-attorneys in the league, I did look it up, and everything you read on the internet is true. In Peri Delicto is Latin for in equal fault. In legal terms, it means both parties share responsibility. So at least Blinka didn't post Bozak with his shirt off, a la Vladimir Putin from last year's Crimea River team. Two teams here are tied for second place in the Con Division at 12-5. One of those two teams is a newcomer to the league in Pfister Telšiai Loši. Aside from winning best team name, Tim Lagerman's squad has been very impressive. Currently, Pfister has scored the most points in the league at 4,545.2 points, because it's not impressive if I just say 4,545. It's 4,545.2 points. Now, that's 230 points more than the next closest team. If not for a tough luck loss to Lefty in week six, Pfister would be tied for first place with a definite edge in points and four games left to play. Interesting side note on Pfister's week six loss to Brian Spahn's squad Lefty. Spahn's team hit their season high mark by scoring the second most points in league history to beat Pfister back in week six, 399.8 points to 311.5 points for Pfister. Being that Conn, that division was playing the Godfrey division back in week six, Pfister's 311.5 points that week would have beaten every potential opponent except Lefty. Definitely put that under the category of a tough luck loss to put that into perspective. If anyone is wondering, the highest ever score in our league, that belongs to Adam Karras, Testoster Braun, back in 2012 when he put up 409 points in a single game, the only guy ever to hit 400 thus far. Lefty almost did at 399.8. Told you that point two meant something earlier. Speaking of Adam, the other team tied for second in the Conn division at 12-5 is Adam Karras' Testoster Braun. With a 12-5 record, Adam continues his domination of the league. Heading into 2015, Testoster Braun was the all-time leader in wins with 43 over 3 years. Having gone 8-3 against division opponents, Adam has the best record against his fellow Conn rivals. While Adam's success overall speaks for itself, I do have to mention that he's faced the second easiest schedule in the league thus far in 2015. So not taking anything away from what you did, Adam, just reporting interesting tidbits that I found as I did research for the podcast here. Definitely benefited from a nice easy schedule this year, but again, nobody can deny that you've been one of the powerhouse teams all year, all the time that we've had this league around. Fourth place in the Conn is another newcomer, the Semrod Warrior, Jason Semrod, buddy of Adam. The Warriors are 9-8. Their record does make them a long shot to make the playoffs in the Conn division, but that's really, you know, primarily because the teams in front of him are playing out of their minds. Semrod's total points for the season are fourth best in the league, and yet their 9-8 record is putting them in fourth place in the Conn division. That same 9-8 record would be good for a playoff spot in the Godfrey division. Truth be told, Semrod would be one game out of first place in the Godfrey with four left to play. That said, the reality is that he is in the Conn division, so it's looking like it's going to be a tough luck season for the Semrod Warrior. Fifth place in the Conn is our third newcomer to the league, T.J. Ottinger. At six wins and 11 losses, the computer's odds-on favorite following our draft has fallen on hard times, partially due to losing four games by a margin of 10 to 18 points each. The rookie of the league, that's his team name, finds himself fighting to stay out of the last-place game against the current basement dweller, which is Jeff Carter's King Jeffrey. Having played in the last place game in 2014, Jeff Carter is desperately trying to put together enough wins to overtake the current one game that stands between him and rookie of the league. While Jeff's team hasn't put up points the way he had hoped to when the season started, the biggest reason King Jeffrey finds himself in last place is the fact that he has faced the toughest schedule in the league by far, with 4,550.3 points scored against him thus far in 2015. Again, that's 4,550.3 points all season long. That's the most scored, 220 points higher than the next closest guy, the next toughest schedule, which, by the way, Semrod Warrior has the second toughest schedule after Jeff. That would explain why the guy with the fourth most points finds himself 9-8 and in fourth place. Back to Jeff's team, King Jeffrey. At 5-12, Carter's squad isn't just a game back of TJ's rookie of the league. The King also is over 200 points behind in total points for the season. So barring a major points binge by Jeff, he's going to potentially find himself in another last-place game. Moving over to the Godfrey Division, heading into 2015, the Godfrey Division had earned a reputation as being the toughest division in the league, aside from having hosted some of the most dominant and record-setting teams in the past. The Godfrey Division also had been home to all of the league's champions thus far. Then came along 2015. With only two teams above 500 after 17 weeks, this year's Godfrey Division has been pathetic. How pathetic? Aside from the two teams that are over 500, only one of the other four teams has a winning division record. I mean, the bad teams can't even beat the other bad teams. That's how bad this division is right now. We're all equally bad, and trust me when I say that I take no pleasure in saying that, because my team is one of, if not the worst, of these bad teams. It's not all bad, though, not all of us. The class of this division at 10-7 each are two newcomers to the league in Matt Blankenberg's Dream Team and Andy Wellman's AMC Javelins. Aside from both being above 500, Dream Team and AMC both prove that they can hang with the mighty Con Division by going 3-3 while running the gauntlet that is the Con Division this year in interdivision play. Dream Team, they were the only two teams, by the way, that finished 500 out of the Godfrey teams that played the Con Division. Dream Team has been strong all year long, but especially over the past 2 months, they've been red hot, having won 7 of 8 matchups with a 3-game lead for the final Godfrey playoff spot and the second highest points scored for the Godfrey division. Matt has all but nailed down a playoff spot. You might as well go ahead and pen him in for one of the Godfrey's top 3 spots. Also, having all but locked up a playoff spot is Andy Wellman's AMC Javelins. For AMC, it's not if they will make the playoffs, rather it's if they'll win the division. While Dream Team has been riding that hot streak, Andy's squad has been riding kind of a roller coaster, also known as the AMC Javelins. AMC started off by winning 7 of 9, then lost 5 in a row, before most recently winning 3 in a row. So despite not having the most points scored for the season, not having the most points scored on his behalf, I mean, he's currently 9th overall in points scored, and he's only 4th most in his own division, and that's a bad division. AMC does hold a 3-game lead on the final Godfrey playoff spot, and the team that has a chance to tie him for that, you know, should they make up those 3 games, they've scored a lot fewer points than AMC has on the year, so you can pretty much pencil AMC in as one of the playoff teams over in the Godfrey. Oddly enough, it's that third-place team in the Godfrey division. That's where you'll find the Godfrey's highest-scoring team in Andy Ottinger's the Milwaukee Pfisters. Same as it ever was, as the Pfisters once again field a very good team, only to find themselves snake-bit by the schedule. The Milwaukee Pfisters are actually the third highest scoring team in the league. They're 230 points behind Igualdad de Copa, which is the Spanish version of equal fault. As Talking Heads so famously said, how did I get here? The answer for the Milwaukee Pfisters is the 4th toughest schedule in the league. That's why they are 8-9, despite having scored so many points, and they just had the 4th toughest schedule in the entire league. The good news is that Andy is in the Godfrey division, as I mentioned. His 8-9 record is good enough for 3rd place and a playoff spot. there are 4 weeks left to play, but the point differential between Andy and the teams below him is so large that the smart money is on the Pfisters of Milwaukee making the playoffs here in 2015. At 7-10 in 4th place and only 1 game out of the playoffs, Murphy's Law is looking like, you will not beat me. Unfortunately, Murphy is also in the background yelling at Gary to put the fish back into cooler, because Murphy, his team is 1 game out of the playoffs, but it's a really big game. Thanks in part to injuries, Murphy has scored the 2nd fewest points in the league. It's hard to win, much less overcome teams in front of you when you're scoring at that low pace. Tied for last place at 5-12, are two teams that prior to 2015 had been amongst the league's best in Brian Spahn's lefty and Rick Gureski's wild pitch. That's my team. Both teams will fight to stay out of the last place game as we go over the last 4 weeks here. Having scored over 100 points more than lefty on the year, wild pitch currently has the tiebreaker to finish in fifth place, but that's not going to hold up if Gureski's squad can't score points better than what they have the past few weeks. Wild pitch is struggling to even hit the 200-point mark over the last couple of weeks, and they have had some tough luck this year, having lost three games by 18 points or less. Blown saves and injuries tell the story for wild pitch. Blown saves alone have cost this team four games this year. They will be lucky to stave off a date with the King Jeffrey in the last place game. For the league's only two-time champion, Brian Spahn's lefty squad just can't catch a break this year. All the breaks that Spahn had caught in the past years are going against him in 2015. Not only has lefty scored the fewest points total in the league, he's potentially scoring at a record low pace. Lefty has had the third most points scored against him. So in addition to scoring at a dangerously low pace himself, he's had the third most points scored against him. That's just not a good combination for anybody in any fantasy league. In all honesty, it's amazing that Spahn has five wins with so few points scored on the season. The record for fewest points scored in a season was set back in 2013 when Ruffino scored 4,417.5 points. The second highest, or lowest, points scored, by the way, lefty has 3,779.2 points scored for him this year so far. So just under 3,800 points total. He's at 3,779 and change. The fewest points scored ever was Ruffino, 4,417.5 points. So that's 700 points ahead of where lefty is today. Second fewest points scored for a season was Jim Cabarrus, just a bit outside, also from 2013, 4,434 points. Again, about 700 points off of where lefty is today. Four matchups left. Really, it's three matchups plus 4 days left. Lefty could find themselves in dubious company if they don't average 200-plus points a week from here out. With that said, we do have to leave this on a positive note by mentioning that Lefty scored the second-highest single-game point total in league history this year when they put up 399.8 points in Week 12 against Pfister's. I had mentioned that earlier, but I think that is rather impressive to put up almost 400 points. So that's a recap of where the divisions and the playoffs stand today. The Con division, you're looking at Blinka's team, Adams' team, and Pfister are the likely playoff teams over there. Semrod still has a shot at getting in. King Jeffrey's battling with Rookie of the Year League to stave off that last place game, but Jeff is got a foot in the door at this point. Over in the Godfrey, you're looking at Dream Team and AMC Javelins. Those guys are fighting for the division, and right behind them, the Milwaukee Pfisters are likely to claim the third spot. You've got Spahn, Lefty, and Wild Pitch fighting for the last place in the Godfrey. Now, I do want to underscore the fact that last place, why did I mention that and talk about that? For anybody that hasn't, that's not part of the league and is going to listen to this podcast, this league has a very interesting rule for their last place teams. Really an interesting playoff scenario where the way playoff spots work in this league is there are two divisions with six teams in each division. And in each division, the top three teams from each division will make the playoffs. Total points for is the single most important tiebreaker. After your three teams from each division make the playoffs, there is a rule in the league that says the last place team for each division will play each other. Both last place teams face off in round one of the playoffs. the loser of that round has to ante up an extra $50 into the kitty. So it's, that's the buy, excuse me, is it 50 or 100? I have to go back and look at the rules. But long story short, whoever loses that game, you know, that's kind of meaningful. You really want to stay out of the basement in this league. For matchups the rest of the way, the biggest matchup this week, which is week 18, involves a clash between two 12-5 teams as Testosterone takes on Pfister Telschies Losch. Winner realistically all but assures themselves a playoff spot as they will have a three-game lead over Semrod Warrior with only three games left to go. The loser is still going to be firmly in the driver's seat for the final playoff spot in the Con division, but they're potentially going to be two games up with three games to play, and Semrod plays both Testosterone and Pfister Telschies Losch in the final weeks. So, you know, even if whoever loses this game, if Semrod wins, Semrod will only be two games back of overtaking that team for third place, and they play that team, which could overcome one more game, which means really they would only need that team to slip up once more in order to lose that spot. So it is realistic that Semrod could work their way into the playoffs. Also happening, the Milwaukee Pfisters are facing the AMC Javelins this week over in the Godfrey in a game that, if it were any division other than the Godfrey this year, it would have playoff ramifications. I'm convinced that Murphy, Wild Pitch, Spahn, we're not going anywhere this year. Murphy statistically does still have a chance, so I don't want to completely pull the rug away from him. But like I said, you know, put the fish back in the cooler, man. next week, week 19, the big game features a clash of the Titans as Imperi Delicto takes on Pfister Telschies Losch. Depending on this week's results, this could be for first place, this upcoming game in week 19 as I look ahead. Equally of impact, but with stakes involving the last place game in week 19, King Jeffrey is set to go up against Rookie of the League. Rookie of the League can lock King Jeffrey in the cellar with a win in week 19. Honorable mention goes to Semrod Warrior, who faces off against Testosterone in week 19. If Semrod's going to make a push, they're going to need to win that game. Week 20, just to mention a couple games in week 20, features a showdown and potential first place game between Dream Team and AMC Javelins. Too much to happen to try and single out any games from week 21, but I'm sure there are going to be games of impact. To wrap the show up, I thought I'd throw out some interesting facts and figures. Let's see here. 6.5 minutes left. These are, the show is a hard start and a hard stop, so let's get to it. Transaction money this year breaks down as follows. It's always fun to see this particular league does have 50 cents per ad drop or player traded. So what I'm about to say is the total amounts for each team this year as far as transaction money. The transaction money all goes to the league champion. AMC Javelins has run up a tab of $8 in transactions. Dream Team, $19.50. Pfister Telschies Losch, $24. Equal Fault, $12, because I'm sick of trying to say that Latin name. King Jeffrey, $10. Lefty, $1.50, Lefty. Wow, you know it's a rough year when Lefty has to make three moves. Woo, boy. Last year, Lefty made one single move. I mean, talk about, that's where I said he's not catching the breaks this year, though. He's got a lot of guys injured. Murphy's Law, $12.50. Rookie of the League, $8.50 in transaction fees. Semrod Warrior, $19. Testosterone, $10. Milwaukee Pfisters, $10.50. Wild Pitch, $10. These are the fees as far as teams that won a high score. Dream Team has two high scores on the year. AMC Javelins has two high scores, as does the Milwaukee Pfisters and Wild Pitch. Lefty did manage one high score. Imperi Delicto, three high scores. He leads the league. Pfister Telschies Losch, two high scores. And then we've got one high score apiece for Testosterone, Semrod Warrior, and Rookie of the League. King Jeffrey and Murphy's Law have not found their way into a top scoring finish for any single weeks yet this season. Again, for people that aren't familiar with the league, the high score each week does get a $20 payout, so that's what I was just reciting. One thing that I did that I think people might find interesting in the final minutes of the show here is to, I went back and I took a look at the draft because it's always fun to go back and just see what picks people made, you know, especially in those late rounds and see who hit and who missed. So what I did was just as of right now, it's August 5th, I went through the draft and I just picked out the highest scoring player in each round. So I'm going to go ahead and recap what I found. It's really interesting. First round, best player was Pfister Teljeslosch, Max Scherzer, 463.5 points. Testoster Brown in the second round took Josh Donaldson, 401 points. Third round, the Milwaukee Pfisters took Buster Posey. Posey's got 356.5 points. That was the best pick in the third round. Fourth round, I had to make it a tie because the points were so close and they're both pitchers. King Jeffrey took Zach Greinke, 426.3 points on the season. Dream Team took Jake Arrieta, 423.7 points on the season. Fifth round, Jacob DeGroom was picked by Lefty, 358.3 points on the season. Sixth round, big, big steal here as AMC took Bryce Harper, 404.5 points. Seventh round, another tie as the Milwaukee Pfisters took Sonny Gray, 405.7 points. AMC gobbled up Garrett Cole, 392.8 points. In the eighth round, also a tie, Semrod took Trevor Rosenthal, 314.3 points. King Jeffrey in the same round took Michael Wacha, 308.8 points. Ninth round, this is probably the best deal of the entire draft as Semrod Warrior took Dallas Keuchel, Houston, 442 points on the year thus far. Tenth round, Murphy's Law took Mark Melancon, 330.5 points. Again, I might mispronounce a lot of these names, so cut me some slack. 11th round, Semrod Warrior, Jason Kipnis, 341.5 points on the season. 12th round, the Pfisters of Milwaukee, Brett Gardner, 332.5 points. 13th round, Murphy's Law, Francisco Lariano, 299.8 points. 14th round, the best player in that round was Testoster Brown taking J.D. Martinez, 340 points. 15th round, rookie of the league took Chris Archer, 372.7 points. Not bad for the 15th round. AMC Javelins in the 16th round take Charlie Blackman and get 363.5 points as of today. 17th round, Semrod Warrior again, his name keeps popping up, Curtis Granderson, 295.5 points for Granderson. 18th round, rookie of the league took Brian McCann, 265.5 points, and he would have more, but he got injured. 19th round, Murphy's Law, who makes a big push here at the end, Chris Davis, 310.5 points. 20th round, Murphy's Law again, Carlos Martinez, 333.3 points. Dream Team gets the best player in the 21st round with Trevor Plouffe, 287 points. And in the 22nd round, Wild Pitch took Alex Rodriguez, 342.5 points. What a great move. Turned around and dumped him 2 days later. That's how my season's gone. But that's going to be a wrap on our first ever G&K Baseball League podcast. I want to thank everybody for joining me. Good luck to everybody as we enter the final games of the 2015 season. Let's tie things up with a little scene from Major League.
Well, you may run like Mays, but you hit like shit.